Hey everyone, welcome to the weekly newscast here on pwponderings.com. I am Chris Dishti, the web admin, and so for this episode, kind of going to run down the results of the AAW Jim Lynham tournament, also CZW Tangled Web. As always, you can go to our website, pwponderings.com/results, or actually just pwponderings.com. Check out all the results from the other shows that we have going on up there, but kind of wanted to go through those results, go over a little bit of news, and then I have a discussion with Brian DeBrain, who obviously is our PWG guy, and Ari Berenstein, my co-host on the Podcast of Honor. And we talk about the news that came out about WWE possibly having a tiered streaming service, and you know, one of the names on there was Ring of Honor. And we talked about if Ring of Honor maybe should start its own streaming service and what the price point would be, what we think could be included, and some really neat ideas. Brian even brought up an idea of, you know, a split sharing of footage from Ring of Honor and how with how WWE would probably mainly just want footage of the guys that are on the roster right now, and maybe Ring of Honor creates its own streaming service with the rest of, you know, the full shows, all that stuff. So a lot of fun. So I encourage everyone to check that out after this. But yeah, just going to run down the results. But like I said, IWA Mid-South held their 20th anniversary. Quintessential Pro had a show out here in California. Chikara also had two shows, Cruise Control and Judgment Day. You can check all those results over at pwponderings.com. So I'm just going to start with CZW Tangled Web. It was an iPay-per-view, Tangled Web 9. The major results from it, the Hit Squad retained their tag titles against the Fella Twins. Alexander James defeated Nathan Cruz. Joe Gacy defeated Black G's. Team Pazuzu defeated Scarlett and Graves, who also now have their own cards up at Filsinger Games. So go check that out, filsingergames.com. Joey Janela retained his Wire Championship against Tony Dreppen. The CZW World Championship, a match that, hey, you know what, I might check this out. Jonathan Gresham defeated Homicide to retain. And then in the annual Tangled Web match itself, Danny Havoc was the ultimate winner, defeating Alex Colon, Ricky Shane Page, and Tim Donst. So, yeah, check them out. They have their own streaming service from our friends over at Pivot Share. I think I said this on the other portion, but I'll just say it again here. I'll probably include a link to that because there's tons of streaming services from them, and I think everyone should go check this out. AEW has one. Also, AEW footage can be found on the High Spots Wrestling Network as well. So that is kind of the big news of the weekend. Chris Hero, your ultimate winner of the 2016 Jim Lynham Memorial Tournament. I mean, this is just a big part of the show, obviously, in memory of Jim Lynham. And you know, if you want, you go back to last week. Jerome Cusan talks about what Jim Lynham meant for AEW. I'll just run down the results here. On night one, we had Heidi Lovelace defeat Melanie Cruz. In the tournament first-round matches, Chuck Taylor defeated Davey Vega. Matt Fitchett defeated Silas Young. ACH defeated Brian Cage. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Colt Cabana. Prince Mustafa Ali defeated Ethan Page. Jeff Cobb defeated Drew Gulak. Phoenix, the, newly free agent, which is the guy they couldn't talk about, but, he's a free agent. He defeated AR Fox. Chris Hero defeated Kongo Kong. And Pentagon Jr. defeated Sammy Callahan to retain his heavyweight title, which would lead into the next night for night two. Chris Hero defeated Matt Fitchett. Prince Mustafa Ali defeated Phoenix. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Jeff Cobb. ACH defeated Chuck Taylor. ACH retained his heritage title in the three-way with Brian Cage and Drew Gulak. Chris Hero defeated Prince Ali. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated ACH. Davey Vega and Silas Young, they defeated Kongo Kong and Marcus Crane. And in a AAW heavyweight title versus career versus hair versus mask tag team match, we had Jake Crist and Sammy Callahan defeat Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., with Sammy Callahan defeating Pentagon Jr. to win the AAW title. Kind of a fun match there. I'm looking forward to seeing how that went down. And then Chris Hero defeated Zack Sabre Jr. in the finals to win the tournament. So congrats to Chris Hero, of course, on that. They already have the trailer out for night one, so I encourage everyone check that out on AAW's YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's youtube.com/AAWPro. That is definitely their Twitter name, so you can go check that out there if I'm wrong on that. So yeah, that is the results from the weekend. And as I said, just kind of a lot of fun there. Also, obviously, in memory of Jim Lynham. Just, something nice. And I think it. I'm looking forward to checking the shows out. There's actually a review up right now for Cerro Miedo from Ryan Rosansky, which featured the Tommaso Ciampa versus Pentagon Jr. So go check that out. Also, Beyond Wrestling, Progress, lots of other reviews up on the website. So the only news I want to run down here that we didn't really talk about, the other bit of news being apparently ACH at the AEW show cut a promo, kind of voicing some displeasure with Ring of Honor. So check that out. Like I said, Brian and Ari had some thoughts on that. I was honestly unaware. I was just really busy this weekend. But yeah, so like I said, after this, go check that out. But Evolve Wrestling, they announced that they're going to be running on Royal Rumble weekend. They're going to hold live events on Friday, January 27th at 8, and Saturday on the 28th at 3. So the cards, they're going to be at the Woodlawn Gym, Cincinnati Avenue in San Antonio, Texas. It's only 6 miles from the Alamo Dome. So they said they'll have ticket info next week. But yeah, they have two big shows coming up this weekend. Evolve 70 on the 15th. You have Timothy Thatcher going up against Ethan Page. Hero versus Gulak. Riddle versus Mystery Partner for Galloway. Dustin versus Fred Yehi. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tracy Williams. Victor Cruz versus Jason Kincaid. Plus more. And then Evolve 71 on October 16th. Timothy Thatcher versus Drew Gulak. It's a non-title, but it's a fight to the finish match. Hero versus Riddle, Sabre Jr. versus Yehi, Page versus Callahan, Dustin versus Darby Allin, and Tracy Williams versus Jason Kincaid. William Regal will be on the live event only, so you can check that out if you check it out live. And like I said, use our link. It's right there included on the article up at pwponderings.com. And then they announced a lot of other lineups for future shows. I won't run down all of them, but yeah, go check that out. So as always, we do appreciate the support. And really appreciate if you would give us a 4 or 5 star review on Stitcher or on iTunes. And yeah, so now we'll just go to my conversation with Brian and Ari about a Ring of Honor streaming service, the WWE TNA news, and more. Thanks again for listening. Joining me on the line are two men who I wanted to talk about a specific topic for tonight on the newscast. Brian, who is generally, I would say, our PWG expert. Brian, how you doing, man?
The Dodgers just lost. They're down 2-1. I'm sad. I always get this kind of moody around this time of year when the Dodgers fail in the playoffs and it looks like they might fail again. So tomorrow, c'est la vie. I don't know. Please win.
Welcome to being a Raiders fan. And on the other side of the line, we have Ari Berenstein, the co-host of the Podcast of Honor. Ari, how are you doing?
Doing good. Getting the last licks in on my 3-day weekend here, so I'm chill.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you were just at Comic-Con, so.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I expect you to be in a good mood.
Spending a lot of money, but having a good time, and I got trimmed. I got the Luke Cage beard. I don't know if you were on my Facebook.
I did see that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Looking good. I'm looking good, man.
Apparently. And yeah. But yeah, I will throw out there that I believe Rich is going to be putting up a transcription of the Lucha Underground panel that happened there. I know there's some news out about that, about they're not still not being a buy for the fourth season. They're doing a small tour, which Brian, you should be excited for. Maybe.
Yeah, it depends on the locations, and hopefully it's a good building with good parking, and hopefully it's like a decent sized building and not like one of these small tiny, you know, holes in the walls that are in the Valley or in LA.
I mean, it is an indie company, so
Is it
a lot of interesting special appearances? Like, I mean, Rey Mysterio was on that panel, and CM Punk isn't a wrestler anymore, but you know.
I was just about to ask you, Ari, if you went and if you had any thoughts.
He was at the Infinity Gauntlet panel. I didn't go to that. I was at the Stan Lee Roundtable at the theater at MSG while that was going on, but I mean, very cool stuff. And there was, you know, obviously a lot of wrestlers that are there. They had the Headlock booth. Mike Kingston is his name. He's got the comic book Headlocked, and he had like Joey Styles, Mick Foley, his daughter Noelle.
Was Sting there?
Ric Flair, Jerry Lawler. Sting was running around interviewing the Ninja Turtles. Sting was at that. Yeah, they did the whole TMNT WWE stuff, and so he was a part of that panel. So
I'm not gonna lie, guys. You know, there's a part of me that wants to buy those.
He was out buying stuff.
Me too.
There's a part of me that wants to buy those.
At least
they're so bad, they're good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like two parts of my childhood coming together.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it's, is it Raphael and Sting? It, like, that just looks, that one is terrible looking. I can't.
Well, don't tell Sting that. He'll be very sad.
Sting's an old man. He can do whatever he wants.
Don't tell him he's old either.
Yeah, that's true. Probably not. But yeah, I mean, all right. So did you say you didn't go to the Infinity Gauntlet panel? Did you go to the Lucha Underground panel? Or no?
No, I did not. That was on the last day. I actually only went Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So.
Oh man, Ari,
I missed that. And I had to get to meet Rich. Rich was cool, but He's the one who went to Lucha Underground panel, so you might want to talk to him about that.
Nice, for sure. Well, I believe we're going to have a transcription of it up on the website. I know PW Insider had an article about some of the things they talked about. But yeah, so before we get into that, but you guys apparently heard about something that I did not. There was a, I guess at the AAW show, there was a promo by ACH that you two apparently heard more about than I did. Actually, Brian, I'll just go to you first. A description of it, and then what you took out of it.
Basically, it's just I didn't get the exact, you know, word by word, but from the paraphrasing on Twitter that night, seems like he was using the word divorce. He was implying things about a certain promotion. I guess let's just say it, Ring of Honor. And I mean, we've heard some rumblings, some rumors that, you know, potentially by the end of the year, some contracts might be up. I don't know if he's one of those contracts or what, but it's interesting that he mentioned that. He did kind of seem frustrated, kind of mentioned being a little frustrated, it seems. And from what it's, I mean, it's weird because, like, you know, he is a big part of the six-man tag tournament right now. And if he does make the final, that's going to take him all the way to Final Battle. So if he is in the final and he's kind of one of the favorites to win the six-man titles for Ring of Honor, kind of a weird way to put it, you know, put the company over, or not really put the company over in this case, when it seems like you're about to become one of their champions. So it's interesting. I don't know if he's just venting, or I don't know if it's, he's just being like grabbing the mic and totally being inappropriate and, you know, just, you know, doing his own thing against the against the cuff or whatever, and him just going off topic and doing his own thing. Who knows? He probably already got in trouble. So the ramifications are yet to come, I guess. And I guess this is going to leave people wondering up until the end of the year. So interesting to note. And if ACH does leave Ring of Honor, hypothetically, I'm not really sure what more he can do on the indies. I don't know what promotion. I mean, maybe since AAW is on this kick right now of like pushing all these guys that are not really, you know, you look at like Chris Hero, they're pushing him really hard. He won the tournament this weekend. All these guys are not in Ring of Honor. So, you know, the land of misfit toys, I guess. And the AEW is just killing it right now in the Midwest. So seems like a good second spot for him. Maybe he can go back to Evolve. Who knows? But very interesting stuff, and makes you kind of more intrigued about, you know, Final Battle and that kind of thing. And if he's going to be divorcing, quote unquote, Ring of Honor, we'll see.
Ari, is there any chance that this is just kind of like a negotiation tactic? I mean, I know wrestlers are not prone, but being a UFC fan, you and I hear about it a lot. Someone kind of publicly saying things just to maybe get a better deal. ACH, probably one of those guys that looks at those like Tommaso Ciampa, Cedric Alexander, and maybe says to himself, hey, you know what? I could go somewhere else. But yeah, your thoughts on this?
I mean, sure, it could be. Honestly, I feel like you know, this as part of the Jim Lynham tournament, you know, there's, you had two really, really good performances and you know, just great reception from the crowd. And so this sort of, I guess it seemed almost spur of the moment, this speech he had in him, and it seemed like it was just, you know, he was just trying to get out, you know, this idea of, you know, he was not, you know, he feels, you know, again, to paraphrase, because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but, you know, to feel that he gets more appreciation from other people and other companies than he does from his quote-unquote wife, from his, you know, which would be Ring of Honor. I guess that's the implication. And, you know, I've talked for many, many times about how ROH should be using ACH better. And they've missed the boat on a couple other people, and they're starting to get on the boat for some other people that is the right move, you know, for guys like Jay White and Dragon Lee, Kamatachi. They're coming around on this group of people, and I think it's trying to make up for the opportunities they lost out on with Ciampa and Alexander. And with ACH, I mean, you know, he's very popular with the fans. He's maybe, you know, he's at times been accused of being immature and reaction, but you know, we haven't heard a lot about that in a while. Maybe that stopped, but any of that would be speculation. I mean, just the bottom line to me is, you know, it's a very interesting moment to do that, especially when you combine the fact of you know, WWE bringing in a lot of the cruiserweight talents and looking for people in the independent scene to bring up into the next wave of NXT signings, and the contracts of a lot of ROH guys coming up in the next few months. And again, ACH is, as Brian indicated, ACH's placement, he and Jay White and Kushida just won in the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view. They're in the six-man tournament. They could foreseeably, you know, and avoiding spoilers, they could foreseeably make the finals at Final Battle if ACH is, you know, quote-unquote, not quote-unquote, but like if he's leaving the company or has left the company, would he show up to that show? There's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, kind of intriguing. I guess we'll just have to see some follow-up on this. But yeah, it's weird. But hey, it's that time in indie wrestling where people can – there's a lot of interest. I mean, especially with NXT, AEW doing very well, other promotions doing well. So yeah, I mean, it's up to the talent to kind of go where the market takes them, so to speak. So, but actually, I think that's kind of a good segue to talk about the main subject that I want to talk about here is that, so the news is out. I believe the Torch, Wrestling Observer, have put out stories about the tiered system that WWE has proposed, put out a poll to some of their current members and then past members, even though I was a part of it. I didn't get this poll, but anyway. So they're thinking about a tiered system, and I think what caught a lot of attention was a $14.99 tier that would include independent wrestling. And apparently they named Ring of Honor and TNA by name, even though both of those are not indie companies. But anyway, in the general conversation, I guess most people just kind of assume they are. But anyway, so this kind of got me thinking about, well, if they're going to pay, say, Ring of Honor for the tape library, and I know that we've all heard the rumors about TNA and, you know, Billy Corgan taking over that portion and rebranding it, and maybe WWE buying their library. But let's just say WWE did make an offer over to Ring of Honor, said, "Hey, let's we want to kind of use some of your library on our network because a lot of your talents are now top talents here." I was just kind of wondering why this would be good for Ring of Honor. I mean, I think the obvious answer is, well, exposure, because Ring of Honor is on St. Clair channels, they're on Comet, they're on a few other ones, I guess, internationally as well. So any type of, I guess, exposure is good. At the same time, I feel like, well, maybe Ring of Honor should consider taking advantage of this themselves. Streaming services, I'm not going to say easy to create, but definitely with people like our friends over at Pivot Share, not the hardest thing to do in the world anymore. And Brian, I know that I'm sure you've heard this conversation for years. Why doesn't PWG stream their shows live, and why don't they have a streaming service? Well, I mean, they kind of do now with the High Spots Wrestling Network. And, you know, it just kind of makes me wonder why Ring of Honor hasn't jumped on this already. You know, I've heard Kevin and Justin talk about how good the Chikaratopia service is. I think Jerome has as well. We get a lot of reports that the Progress service on Pivot Share is good. The CZW service on Pivot Share is good. So, Ari, I'll go to you first. Your ideas on, you know, WB either paying Ring of Honor to utilize some of the library, and then maybe some thoughts on if Ring of Honor should start their own streaming service or not.
Well, I guess the first thing to point out is that this is all very early in the process, although if WWE is mentioning these companies by name and sending out these surveys, then they probably have given considerable thought to what this would look like and what the next steps are on their network services and the different price structures around it and the different services they will go with each price structure. And, you know, if people listen to the Dave Meltzer Brian Alvarez audio, you know, or have read the transcription of that, and they know how that goes. It's definitely a game. I hate to use this phrase, game changer, but it definitely would change things around. I mean, people have been kind of teetering about the changes in the independence with a lot of the talent flowing into WWE, into NXT, the Cruiserweight Classic. So in some ways, this is a natural progression of taking the talent that's out there and showcasing it on the WWE network. You know, in this case, you know, whether it's TNA, Ring of Honor, or the other independents, Evolve, or some of the other more regional promotions, you know, you're talking about putting those shows up on the network and then, you know, maybe cherry picking the best talents from that eventually. And so this definitely could change in the coming months and years what independent wrestling has looked like since the death of ECW and this new generation of this new era of the independence that's been going on for, you know, about a decade and a half now. So it's a definite difference maker in terms of what's going to happen, but a lot of it is still up in the air and maybe this never even comes to pass. So should Ring of Honor be involved in this? I mean, like you said, there's definitely a good, there's a good and a bad with it. For me, it's funny because, you know, you and I go way back as ROH fans. And so whenever the subject of, you know, would WWE buy out ROH at some point, you know, or would they have a relationship to WWE akin to what ECW did, you know, in the mid-90s, I was always very much against it because I had the mentality at the time of, you know, ROH is independent, and it was at the time it hadn't been sold to Sinclair, and it can't go corporate, and it can't, you know, it can't sell out. It's got to be fiercely independent, like one of its catchphrases was. And a lot of that's gone out the window in 2016, 2017, because it's been bought by Sinclair. It's no longer independent. It's definitely changed from what it used to be. And the reality is it's better to get your product out there and also monetize it, make money off of it, than to sort of languish in obscurity to a certain respect and sort of just be where you're at. But on the other hand, ROH is not too bad right now in terms of its exposure. You know, obviously it could be better. You know, the Destination America deal is ended, and they're on this Comet station, which, you know, depending on if you have rabbit ears or get the channels or whatever, you know, it's kind of up in the air whether you can get it or not. They still have a presence on NESN and other Sinclair networks, and you can always go to the ROH website and you can go get their TV there. You know, but, you know, they don't have a dedicated streaming service like ROH does, or like WWE does, or like High Spots does with PWG and its other independents, or Jakari, you know, and a lot of other promotions have some sort of streaming service. So it's always been the interesting thing that the ROH offers video on demand on their website. They offer the pay-per-views on demand on their website. They have, you know, their membership where you can get access to older shows and older matches, but they don't have a stream. They don't have, you know, like WWE Network has, you know, you can go to their archives or you can go to their live stream and see whatever they're playing right now. And it's weird. I think they should have a long time ago done that, but for some reason just they're okay with doing what they're doing now. They're sort of in a solid state for what they want to do with their product. So if I were in their position, I would be interested in seeing what WWE has to offer. What is their offer? Are they offering to take the classic library from, let's say, 2002 to 2007 or 8 and put that on the website and ROH keeps the more modern years? Are they willing to put on their weekly TV shows? There's a lot to consider. As opposed to the way I was years ago with that sort of fiercely independent mentality, I'd actually consider what WWE has to offer now at this point, which is kind of monumental. It's kind of mind-blowing to me that I'm saying those words, but I kind of would consider it. But, you know, I would hope that ROH is looking into their own streaming service at this point already, if it's not too late, you know, to get involved in that situation, get involved in that market share.
Brian, being a guy, I don't know if you subscribe to the High Spots Wrestling Network, but when it was finally announced and they told everyone this includes old PWG shows, I'm sure you got kind of excited for that. So imagine if Ring of Honor announced, hey, you know what, we finally have our own streaming service. You know, I don't know what to charge, and we'll talk about that actually, what a good price point would be. But Follow up on Ari's question, is it too late for Ring of Honor to enter this market? Is there already enough streaming services out there?
Oh, I don't think it's too late at all. I mean, what I'm thinking is WWE has to treat their network like a Netflix and not limit themselves to, like, we just have to buy the whole library. I think they should think, like, okay, we can license multiple libraries. And that way, they don't have to sell their whole library. They can just license it out and still be able to, you know, create their own streaming service. It's just kind of like when movies go on Netflix, you can also, like, download them somewhere else on a different, like, platform on, like, your PlayStation or something like that. It's just not necessarily limited to just Netflix, right? So what I'm thinking is they can easily get the TNA library, not even buy it, like the rumors have been, and just, you know, pay a fee, get the matches that matter so you don't have to, like, pay for some crap that, like, I mean, God knows, I mean, why would the WWE pay for, like, you know, a random 2002 Scramble match, you know what I mean? That's got has no importance in the overall history of the person they're trying to feature, right? So I'm thinking they'll license a certain amount of matches per show, get the main ones, and that way you can just pay a fee, and then they'll put it on their on the WWE network. You give money back to Ring of Honor, and that way Ring of Honor still becomes like this, what do you call it? Kind of like a farm system, almost, like, where it's just, it's kind of what it is now, almost, where, like, the guys on the indies are obviously getting cropped and picked up from WWE and having an effect on the main roster and going to NXT and that kind of thing. So I think it can work both ways. Like, they can easily have their own streaming and then also license certain footage to WWE, whatever they want, and just, you know, have both. You know, it's, don't try to limit yourself. You look at, like CZW, for example, their content is available on Highspot, Smartmark Video, their own thing. You know, they're open to, like, you know, all these different, you know, venues and streams, just to, because they want to please every type of, you know, consumer that wants to, you know, take in the media whatever they want to, whatever way they want to. And you got to leave options on, you know, on the table. And I think, you know, not necessarily buying out the whole library would be a good idea. And just, like I said, licensing certain matches, obviously, like the big Samoa Joe matches, the Punk matches, the Daniels, you know, all those big matches. And then you'll still have the chance for Ring of Honor to do their own thing. And that way you don't really, like, you know, take out their whole library, basically, because that's a lot of valuable footage, give or take. You know, even with, like, the shitty, like, 2002 on white balance footage and all that kind of thing, I can't imagine. Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing, like I already said, just talking about this. But I just can't imagine that footage being on the network looking so poor. So, I mean, you also got to consider, like, they got to, you know, digitize and read, you know, basically redo the footage and high res it or whatever they can do. I mean, there's a lot of money and a lot of work to be done into getting certain Ring of Honor stuff. I really think Ring of Honor can just, like, dive in and just kind of get into it now. They kind of were doing, like, as I recall, you can down back in, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when they first started their that thing where you sign up monthly as a subscriber and then you can download old shows and stuff. And I remember just the downloads are just like 3.5 gigs, you know, because it was actually like an ISO file, which was the DVD file. So it was just not working out too well. But I think a streaming service, just like the Pivot Share, High Spots Dealer, you know, Progress Wrestling, it's very easy to use. Maybe they should just make a deal with Pivot Share. I mean, who knows? But I mean, it's not too late for sure, obviously. And it's just mind blowing that we're talking about WWE using TNA in Ring of Honor footage. I mean, if you really think about it, it's not that crazy considering they bought the WCW and ECW libraries back in like 15, 20 years ago. And now looking back at it, it's like, wow, you can have a whole history of this, you know, sports entertainment, sport, whatever you want to call it, in one, you know, one site, one streaming service. You know, we're close to that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, what's his name? The NWA Houston footage. What's his name, Chris? The guy from...
I know who you're talking about. He's the president of the NWA. He goes over to Japan.
I love his suits. But yeah, it's me if, like, he, you know, did the same thing and not necessarily sell the whole library. That's really, really rare. And, I mean, if you hear the story about the library that he found and all those pristine, like, 16 millimeter or whatever, he should do the same thing and, like, just license out the footage. WWE gets what they want. They'll make a little money off of it. I think right now with the network, it feels like they've kind of, I don't want to say peaked, but I think they've reached the amount of like average amount of subscribers each month, like on a non-WrestleMania season, like right now, right? At whatever subscriber number they have right now is probably the highest they can go outside of like a Mania season, right? So I guess, yeah, I would say that technically the number is peak. But if you add all these like smaller promotions, right, the smaller, I mean, that has kind of a draw too. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, if you look at the streaming services now in the indies, they wouldn't be there if they weren't drawing and people were paying money. So I think you can easily draw on that audience as well and kind of build a little more on top of that with this extra footage and stuff. So there's a lot of money to be made, I think, and a lot of money on the table. And I think WWE doesn't necessarily have to take it all. You know, I think Ring of Honor can be smart enough and say, hey, we want our own streaming service too. And I know you want the footage of Samoa Joe and CM Punk and all those guys. So let's work together. You know, I think there's a lot of money to be shared. And hopefully, you know, we're living in a world by, you know, beginning of 2017, we have Ring of Honor footage. And I don't know about TNA footage. Who knows? That's a cockroach that, you know, I guess won't die, I guess. But yeah, it's mind blowing. And I can't wait for the potential, you know, rewards from it. The only thing negative thing I got to say about with the network potential, like tiers and everything, is just that I feel like a consumer might get a little too confused. I know back working in Blockbuster back in the day, we had all these different like plans for like the Blockbuster online that was trying to compete with Netflix and whatnot. And if you look at Netflix now, hardly anyone does the DVD thing anymore, right? They just play the one, you know, streaming fee and that's it. So hopefully it doesn't get too confusing, because I'm worried like some people will go like, oh, $5.99 for just 4 pay-per-views, fine. And then you like your numbers will increase, but your, you know, overall profit might go down just by these tiering systems and confusing consumers. And hopefully they can just simplify it, you know what I mean? And just for an extra $5, you'll get all this extra footage and that's it. And just have like 2 tiers instead of 4.
Yeah, I could see that. That's an interesting idea that you brought up. Kind of allowing WWE to only have access to certain footage for a fee and still being able to build their own. Ari, any thoughts on that? I mean, given what Brian said, yeah. I would be intrigued by Ring of Honor saying, okay, WWE, here's our compilation footage, you know, like the CM Punk, Samoa Joe stuff, or all of, you know, all those best of Samoa Joe's, best of Brian Danielson, best of Tyler Black, best of Austin Aries, you know. They could have that on their network while Ring of Honor retains their actual shows. But yeah, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be one way to do it. And that would give WWE a piece of it, and ROH would maintain it. But, you know, I do feel like, as far as the licensing stuff, you know, we know to a certain extent how WWE operates, and they like exclusivity. They like to have complete control and domination of something, and then they buy up as much as they can, and then they feature it or don't, as the case may be, because there's a lot of stuff that they bought that still hasn't made the network. But, you know, they've rolled out piece by piece, you know, different promotions that they bought and in terms of footage. So, you know, it's interesting. I feel like, you know, ROH would definitely have something to gain, and TNA obviously is in a difficult situation. It's complicated, to say the least, what's going to happen to them. So, you know, they could definitely use the money, but I just don't know. I don't know if I see realistically. I mean, again, these are just things that, you know, are in discussion modes, and I don't know if realistically either one of those would make it. I mean, I see more, you know, to the point that, you know, WWN and Evolve have closer ties with WWE. And yes, WWN has their own streaming network. They have an iPay-per-view service. But to me, you know, it seems like there's more of a chance with their relationship with Gabe Sapolsky that they could strike a deal with them. Or, you know, on the other hand, you know, the British wrestling that's been on the rise, you know, from Progress and other promotions and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like part of the reason Triple H has made inroads and connections with all these different independent promotions is in part to kind of connect to these next steps on the network, obviously for their talent, obviously to, you know, keep the talent flowing and to take those next steps and what they want to do with the WWE program. I really do feel like it, and again, I just use the word, but Evolve, I feel like there's this quiet evolution that may come about here from the WWE in terms of what they are as content providers. I mean, they're not just, you know, it would be like that Netflixing of the world where they're showing these other promotions, but it's definitely so different that I kind of can't wrap my hands around or my mind around the idea that they wouldn't want, you know, either to eventually take control of these promotions or exclusivity of the content for a period of time. Like, I mean, again, if ROH gives up a certain footage, let's say they give up a best of Samoa Joe, like, I would imagine WWE would want a deal where you can't show that footage on any other platform or even your own archives for a certain amount of time. I mean, if they're leasing the footage, like if, you know, you go to like Seinfeld, if you syndicate Seinfeld to TBS, like you can't have it on any other channel for a certain amount of years because it's, you know, that's how TBS makes their money. You watch the show there, you make the money off the ads. So it's definitely one way ROH can do it if they want to do it. And if they want to do it in the beginning, in the first place, who the hell knows? It's intriguing. It definitely stokes the imagination. And it could happen, but I don't feel like, if I'm giving a percentage, I can't say it's going to be more than, you know, 15%, 20% that this could happen, you know, right now, maybe in a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. Maybe it'll be higher, but like, I just don't see it happening for ROH or TNA. For other independent promotions and even for regional American promotions, I could see it. It could definitely be something worthwhile for them. And that is a possible intriguing thing for the future.
What would it be like? So let's say that none of this is going on. Let's just talk about a Ring of Honor streaming service in general. Ari, what would the price point be? I mean, because there's so many out there. And like I said, our friends over at PivotShare, they have a great service, but their prices, they range from $9.99 to, I think some of them only $3.99. Obviously, that's, you know, I don't want to say they're the smaller promotions in some type of, like I'm demeaning right. them, but in lesser known promotions, they're only charging like $3.99. Progress, I believe, charges $9.99. Then you have the WWE Network, which is also $9.99. What would the price point be for you to have access to, say, let's just say, not including the Ring of Honor TV, because those contracts are so different and they have different things going on there, but let's just say all the old footage at some point. You know, it could be like the WWE Network where they just put it out in stages, like, you know, hey, here's all 2003, then next month, hey, here's all 2004 or something like that. But at some point you would have access to all of it. What would that be worth?
Well, I mean, I can't imagine it being much more than what they charge for membership now in their deal. Maybe add a dollar or two more. I don't think it could top out more than $9.99. You know, as much of it is a premium service and stuff. You know, WWE has set the pricing tier. Standard here. But on the other hand, I mean, let me ask you, do you remember how much they on the Fight app, is that for pay-per-views? Do they charge the regular price for pay-per-views there too?
Yeah, on the Fight app, yes. They do charge for the pay-per-views. So. It's whatever it would cost to but the TV's on there for free, obviously, you know, because they're not going to charge for TV.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, look, ROH charges, you know, $35-$40 for their broadcast pay-per-views. So they're not unaccustomed to charging premium prices that go beyond what WWE has set. But for something like this, I mean, the market's pretty much there. I would go $9.99 as well. And it brings up a point that maybe ROH would do. And again, this is why they're behind. They could have set the tone here. They could have done what WWE is kind of, you know, hinting at right now. They could have done that for independent promotions a long time ago, which is, you know, you go to ROH's streaming service and you get access to, you know, IWA. You get access to, you know, AIW or AAW, or just go into different agreements with these promotions. You know, they had it's funny because when I started as a independent wrestling fan and got exposed to different promotions, and part of that was High Spots, buying products from them and RF Video before, you know, all the stuff went down about Rob Feinstein that kind of, I made a decision not to buy products from them again, but I would buy from High Spots and I would buy from ROH's web store because they went into agreement with different promotions to sell their DVDs, sell their products. So I would buy from many different promotions from many parts of America. And then obviously they got the deal to sell Pro Wrestling NOAH DVDs. So I bought those, you know, it's funny that they didn't think about that Sinclair people either didn't think about it or just never pulled the trigger on doing a streaming service where they offer them their product and they also offer other independent promotion products because that could have been major for them. That could have been a huge deal and now it's WWE's idea and it could come to fruition. But if ROH were to do it, I mean, I would be interested in seeing what they have to offer, what their idea would be of hosting content, and would they put up different shows? Would they put up exclusives? That could make it worth your while to charge more money.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because so the Ringside membership, obviously there's a free tier to it. There's a monthly at $7.99, quarterly $19.99, and annually $59.99. And with the Ringside membership, you get access to some classic, you know, Ring of Honor matches, complete ROH DVDs from the past, but not the whole thing. And it always kind of makes me wonder why not. You know, is it costing you anything? Like, why couldn't you just have that? You know, if someone's going to pay $60 and you're already getting, I believe it's 15% off merch. Yeah, 15% off merchandise. Access to every television episode since 2011, exclusive discounts on iPay-per-views. It's like, well, why can't you just add on a streaming service to that? You know, because you already have the platform. I have no idea how many people are actual members. But yeah, Brian, same question to you. What would the price point be? You know, I know that, you know, you watched Ring of Honor a little while ago. I think you're kind of a lapsed fan now. You kind of maybe only watch like the pay-per-views. But, you know, what to have access to some of that older footage that, I think that you and I and Ari all love, how much would that be worth? Or how much do you think it would be worth to most Ring of Honor fans?
I mean, you could probably charge $15 a month, but I think because of the point where, you know, it's $9.99 for the WWE Network, and I think it's $7.99 for Progress, I think. Or is that Beyond Demand?
Beyond also has their YouTube streaming service. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so there's a certain price point that I don't think you can go over without people thinking, well, I mean, I have this other option for a lot cheaper, and I can almost see some of the same guys, so I might do this option instead. So I think they kind of, if they do it, it's got to be in the range of $8.99, $9.99. I would not do, like I would do occasional live shows like the Glory by Honors or whatever, the ones that are not the pay-per-views, and I would actually have you pay for a pay-per-view, but, you know, have it not be available on the streaming site for at least, you know, a couple weeks or something like that, kind of like the old school way to do it. And then, you know, eventually it'll be on the network or whatever, but that's the way I would kind of do it. Like, you would have a few, like maybe one or two live streaming shows just for the streaming site, and then you would keep the pay-per-views as special pay-per-views, and then, you know, make it so special that you're not going to see any footage of it on the streaming site for at least a couple weeks, so that way you can kind of still drive the buys for views. There's a way you can kind of do both still. Probably, I know they kind of do this thing now where depending on like the weekend, like they'll upload the house show if it's a really big house show, like really, really quick or whatever. Something like that where like maybe the next day after a house show, they'll already upload the footage, like the raw footage or whatever, and then eventually they'll like dub in the commentary later if they want to do so, or if they already have it recorded. They can easily do something like that. And then, you know, like I said, just have specials just for, you know, the streaming site and still do your pay-per-views and whatnot. So I think $8.99, $9.99, somewhere around there would do. And then hopefully you get like, God, I don't even know how many subscribers, but I mean, if they're doing what, like 7,000, 8,000 right now just for regular pay-per-views, maybe if you can get 5,000, so 5,000 times 9 or 10, right? So you're working with some cash there.
Yeah, no, I think it would be intriguing to have that. And Yeah, no, I agree with you that it obviously can't go beyond a certain point. Yeah, Beyond Demand is $9.99 a month, and that's on YouTube, so, you know, a platform that's always going to work. Progress, same thing with Pivot Share, and, you know, I'll probably throw this into the notes for the newscast, but yeah, a link to Pivot Share service, because there's just so many of them on there, and it's worth it. But yeah, so for the Progress, it's $7.50 a month, but I think that's also because that's how... That's how it works out in terms of for us, because I think sometimes it's a little bit more. I'm not entirely sure. You know, it's kind of like New Japan World, right? So, you have New Japan World, you have right there. So, I don't remember what the numbers that Meltzer said, but they were decent. Lower than I think what New Japan wanted, but it's still a growing thing. So it's like, why doesn't Ring of Honor look at their partner and go, oh, you know what? That probably was a good idea. So. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about here. Is there any other thoughts on this? If Ring of Honor should, because I am thinking that maybe right now is a good time for Ring of Honor to consider and really try, you know? Any other thoughts from either of you on this?
I'll say this one thing. Okay, so the whole TNA thing, right? The people that are in denial of even the conversations between WWE and TNA about their footage or getting their library, I think they need a reality check, because they specifically said TNA footage on their survey. So that has to mean, obviously, that there have been somewhat of a discussion to actually get that footage, meaning that there has been conversations between the two companies about getting said footage. So just to put that out there, I hate to spoil the party for some people, but that's kind of the reality of the situation. If you happen to mention that company's name on a survey, and then, you know, it's odd. Why wouldn't they talk about, you know, selling the footage, and especially right now when they need the money? So, yeah, reality check.
All right, so there you go. Before we get out of here, of course, I'd like to throw some plugs out there. So I'll go to you first, Ari. What do you have going on?
Not too much. Our podcast with the ROH All-Star Extravaganza review, is that coming up anytime soon?
Actually, it just dropped today, so good job, Ari. Just paying attention.
There you go. Well, I'm sorry. I've been taking my annual Columbus Day nap because I had the day off, so I was not online all that much, to be honest. So I'll take the rap for that. But hey, you guys out there, you go check that out, right? The new podcast of Honor. Myself, GST, Mikio, Rich Lacone, we're talking about the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view and the TV tapings and all sorts of other stuff. So go check that out. And then Twitter is twitter.com/AriBerenstein, or type in a column of Honor in the search bar.
Awesome. Yeah, no, a lot of fun. We do discuss the pay-per-view, and then we do talk to TV spoilers at the very end. So, of course, you can always skip those if you just really don't want to know. But yeah, Brian, what do you have going on, man? Apparently some projects, some other things. Can you mention anything?
Maybe. Well, let me think. Now, let's keep it quiet for now. I don't want to, you know, spoil it or, you know, jinx it or whatever. But for now, it seems like I'm temporarily, I might do it permanently, the Lucha Underground review. It was actually kind of nice, you know, expressing my thoughts in the written form. I haven't done that written review in a while, but it was actually kind of refreshing. So I got my thoughts out there, so you can check out my review from last week, The Prince and the Monster. If you still want a set of the PWG cards, which I know are super, super hard to find, especially since I'm pretty sure I'm out, except for the said few for some said people once they get back to the country, use our link on pwpondries.com. There's a High Spots link. We get a little bit of a credit for that one. If you use our link, you can still buy, I believe, the $40 second chance box, whatever they want to call it, where you can still get the cards from High Spots. So please support us by supporting them through supporting us through the link. So there you go. Also check out the store, pwpodnings.com/store, and check out the designs and all the cool stuff. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that shirt, because I can't find one. So if no one's thought of it, then I think I'm going to go for it. So that's probably the next shirt coming up soon. I do have some secret projects coming up, but you'll probably hear from me on that within the coming week, so hopefully everything lines up. So hit me up on Twitter, Brian the Brain, DA, not the, if you want some graphic design work done. I know some people have already hit me up, which allude is the secret products and all that kind of thing. So if you want to even talk about some stupid pop culture stuff, I'm currently watching the fresh. I'm currently watching Luke Cage, so there you go. It all makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to checking that out finally. Just kind of really busy, really busy. But yeah, thanks guys for being on the show. As always, really appreciated.
Can't wait for Uncensored Volume 2 on the ROH streaming service. Oh, yes.